Howdy. So no Aggies in the room. Okay. So howdy is a traditional greeting from Aggieland. So hello. Before we get to talk a little bit about alcohol advertising on social media platform Instagram, I do want to acknowledge some of my co-authors, one of which is here, Zachary Jackson. You want to take a stand? There you go. Thank you. No conflicts of interest, financial or otherwise, to disclose to the audience. I also want to highlight some contributors who are not authors on this particular presentation, but did contribute to this investigation, and I'll let you know how as we kind of continue through. So alcohol advertising, well, what do we know? Bottom line, it works. That's why the industry spends billions of dollars annually doing it. It works in influencing not only initiation, those who don't drink, actually initiating to drink, but also the quantity consumed among people who do drink. There also appears to be a dose-response relationship where as exposure increases, so too does frequency of alcohol consumption. As Gernard said, alcohol ad exposure and the effective reaction to those ads influence some youth to drink more and experience drinking-related problems later in adolescence. So as we said, alcohol advertising is effective and does work. Receptivity to advertising has been proposed to be this sort of iterative, continuative process in which youth go through not only this exposure, then an internalization of what they're exposed to, and some incorporation into their identity. So, as you can see, exposure to advertising is an important element to consider. What do we know about advertising and their self-imposed regulations? For those of you who don't know much about alcohol advertising is self-regulated. In other words, the industry has self-regulated, self-developed codes that guide their industry practices. In particular, one of the highlights of those codes is that they should minimize or simply not utilize outlets in which a certain percentage of the population which that will be viewing a particular segment or be readership for a particular magazine is under the minimum legal drinking age. I forget the specific cutoff, but if they're the target audience is over that particular cutoff, they should not use that outlet. What we do know is that they violate these codes, though. They purposefully target those under the minimum legal drinking age, 21. Alcohol advertising appears more frequently in magazines with higher adolescent readerships and also appears in television programs with higher percentages of youth viewers than is allowable by their self-regulated codes. However, most of those statistics I just reported to you, they're all based on print, traditional media, so print media, radio media, television. There's a shift, however, from placement in those traditional venues to focusing more on digital media, social media, online media. In fact, I believe it's Southern Comfort took their entire advertising budget and shifted away from any print, television, or radio ads and then said we're going to focus solely on social media, solely on online advertising. Why is this important? When you consider that the alcohol industry has shown a penchant for targeting youth, and then you consider who's most engaged in social media and online media, youth are accounting for a very large percentage of not only internet users, but also social media adopters and users. Between a segment of 12 to 17 years old, 95% use the internet, and of those, a vast majority use and engage with social media sites. So, as a recap, we know advertisers target youth. Youth are highly engaged in social media, and alcohol advertisers are expanding their presence. So what did we look to do? We looked to see if youth or adolescents are able to interact with as well as be advertised to on social media platforms. So specifically, we examined could they view and interact with social media online advertising on the platform of Instagram, and then could they follow and subsequently receive promotional message directly to them on a smartphone per period. So we specifically chose Instagram. Why? Because it's one of the top three most popular social media sites between those the age of 12 to 17. There was an FTC report that came out not too long ago that basically said Facebook effectively uses age gates. So what are age gates? Age gates are just a small obstacle. So basically if you were to, let's say, if you're on Facebook, you look at Budweiser's Facebook page before you could get on that. If you tried to, it would present a thing. Are you 21 years of age or older? That's essentially an age gate. So if you ever try to log on to any alcohol websites, Budweiser's websites, Corona, they'll be enter your birth date. That's an age gate. Okay. So the FTC report basically said Facebook ads cannot be placed on the pages of a person under 21 and that they effectively use age gates. However, there haven't been any specific investigations into the effectiveness of Twitter or Instagram age gates. So what did we do? We developed 10 fictitious profiles, 5 of which were male, 5 of which were female. The contributors I identified earlier were the actual controllers of each of those. So they are each, males and females, assigned an age of 13, 15, 17, 19, and 21. We specifically chose those because we felt it corresponded with some developmental stages. It corresponded to middle school, and 13 is also the youngest age on which you can have a lot of social media, a profile on many social media sites. It also corresponded to high school, as well as college-aged individuals. So we chose the 25 most popular brands or ads among adolescents or youth within the United States, basically based on prevalence within the past 30 days. Of those 25, only 22 had official pages that we could confirm, some examples of which were Bud Light, Smirnoff Vodka, Corona, Jack Daniels, Captain Morgan, Four Loko was on there. So those are just to give you a picture of what those 22 brands look like. So we are looking specifically for two key things. Whether or not each of these profiles could access and interact with information on a Bud Light profile, on a Corona profile, on a Smirnoff Vodka profile. In particular, could they interact in terms of could they view the video content that was posted? Could they view the picture content? Could they like or comment on these particular posts? Could they then share a URL or share the content, which is then that individual becomes a brand ambassador for that brand? So basically, could they access and interact with what was posted? Also, we're interested, could that individual, whether they're of age or underage, actually follow? So by following, then receive direct advertisements every time they're posted directly to their smartphone, their pocket. So what do we find? Well, essentially, no age gate is employed on Instagram. So regardless of age, all profiles could view content, view pictures, view video, they could post, they could comment, they could like, they could share with anyone else regardless of their age as well. So there were no age gates preventing access or interaction with alcohol brand promotional material posted on Instagram. Additionally, all users, regardless of their age, could follow and also receive direct advertisements to their smartphones, and we followed for a period of 30 days. Within that 30-day period, a total of 3,620 advertisements or updates were sent via Instagram to our group of profiles. So on average, that looked like about 12 to 13 ads or promotional material sent to each profile a day, regardless of age. So you can take a second here, and you have a breakdown between male and female, roughly equivalent. About 350 updates were sent to each profile, again, regardless of age, throughout this 30-day period. So here you have the daily average number of updates received. Move that for you. Received from companies for all of our profiles. So this is broken down on day, and you see a general trend that there's going to be an increase as the week goes on, peaking on Friday. So by Thursday, Friday, those are your peak times in which promotional material and updates are sent through the Instagram profiles of these 22 alcohol brands that we followed. So we have some sort of fortuitous findings. As we said earlier, in order to assess access and interaction, we had all of our profiles, 13 through 21, interact with these profiles that were posted, that all of these 22 brands. So to do so, they were commenting, they were liking. Here we have a comment that was posted by one of our fictitious 15-year-old profiles, right? Chris Johnson 605, looks good, what is the recipe? Here we have the actual controller of the alcohol brand commenting and interacting specifically with our 15-year-old. Similar trend here with our underage 19-year-old profile, S. Jones 605. Can I get a recipe, please? You see Absolute Vodka responding back. So essentially, on top of that, not only were we able to find out that alcohol brands would interact with our underage individuals, we also found this sort of additional, what we're calling a fortuitous finding. Each of our profiles were then asked by separate, distinct, and uninitiated alcohol advertisers, representatives, or just enthusiasts. So profiles on Instagram that were either other alcohol brands that were not included in our investigation, other alcohol representatives, asked to follow all of our profiles. So we're then asking to follow 13-year-olds, 15-year-olds, 17-year-olds, all the way up to 21. So simply put, what does this mean? In terms of Instagram, youth have unobstructed access to alcohol ads and promotions on social media. In the case of Instagram, there was no use of age gate technology whatsoever. Birth dates, no age gates were ever presented to our profiles. On top of that, you have advertisers who are sending underage individuals promotions and messages directly to their phones several times a day. So this echoes what Nichols says, basically this promotion is everywhere, every day, everywhere. Now that said, this is a pretty simple descriptive study, so there's a need for some content analysis of what are the messages that are actually being sent to these profiles. We know that they're interacting with them, they can access them, and they will also be sent directly to their smartphones. But what specifically are the messages that are being sent? We also would like to know if there's a difference in terms of level of interaction. If a profile interacts very frequently with an alcohol brand, will that then change not only what they're sent, but how much they're sent? We'd also like future investigations to look across different profiles and, different platforms and emerging technologies. Instagram is simply one social media site that's quite common among youth and adolescents. So we think future work should look to see, is this true of other social media sites that are common among youth and adolescents? Are there similar trends? Thank you.